Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pandora's Box. Today is January 11th, 2016. Happy New Year. Today, the topic of my podcast is new beginnings, letting go of what is no longer working in your life. Before I begin, I would like to remind you that my podcasts are supported by my books, audio programs, counseling, coaching, and hypnotherapy sessions designed to help you make powerful changes in your life and nurture a more positive relationship with yourself. You can learn more about my work or book an appointment by visiting my websites, pathbacktoself.com and narcissismfree.com. It's a new year, a time for New Year's resolutions and commitments to do things differently, healthier, better than the year before. Although any time of year is good for new beginnings, January is our custom to let go of the things of the past that don't serve us and embrace new habits, new ways of living and being. This time of year, gym memberships increase and diet programs get a lot of attention. Most people think about taking care of their bodies, losing that extra weight, getting in shape, and feeling better. And this is great. When you are in good health and happy about the size and shape of your body, you simply feel better about yourself, and this is important. A lot of you listening are probably wanting to let go of a lot more than the extra physical weight you might be carrying around. You might be trying to shed emotional weight and the weight of something or someone you need to let go of, but are having a difficult time really letting go. Maybe you're trying to let go of a marriage or a toxic relationship. Maybe you need to let go of codependent behaviors, unhealthy ways of relating, and perhaps even a lot of emotional baggage you've been carrying around for years. You may need to let go of an addiction or even several addictions, whether it be to food, drugs, alcohol, sex, or an actual person. Yes, we can be addicted to another human being. It is common that people who are in toxic relationships develop autoimmune disorders and suffer from a painful decline in health and wellness. And if you are suffering from dis-ease, you may have the desire to improve your health by letting go of the toxic behaviors or circumstances that are unconsciously contributing to your failing health. Whatever it is you wish to let go of this year, now is the time to begin. Whether it be losing extra weight, getting in shape, letting go of a toxic person in your life, or letting go of an addiction, the one thing that is at the root is destructive behavior. For most people, willpower is not enough. We can't always just will ourselves to change a destructive behavior. We have to go deeper. The change we seek to make is on the inside, and as we delve deeper into our own psyche, into our subconscious mind, we can confront the behaviors and the beliefs that keep us continuing to repeat the cycle of addictive or dysfunctional behavior. For simplicity's sake, let's say you wish to lose 30 pounds. You've already gone on so many diets you can't count them, and you know just by committing to another diet that you're likely to fail, and so your motivation to begin yet another diet isn't very high. The failures of your past create a subconscious memory and a belief that says, I'm not successful at losing weight. So just going on another diet isn't the solution to being successful. It isn't the diet that you are on that will make the difference. It's your ability to commit to and stick to a diet that will determine your success. And for most people, it isn't a diet that is needed, but a lifestyle change. One must see himself or herself making changes in the way they eat and the way they live that they can sustain, not only for a couple months, but over a long period of time. They must be willing to make changes that become a way of life. As the new way of life takes shape, the old behaviors fall away. Behavioral change is really what is required in order to be successful. In order to change behavior, you must become aware of your internal dialogue. What do you tell yourself? What is the repeating thought or feeling you are having in relationship to the change you are trying to make in your life? You also must look at the core belief at the root of your unhealthy behavior. What do you believe about yourself that is keeping you stuck in the repeating pattern? For the person trying to lose weight, there might be a belief that says, I'm not successful at losing weight. There may be a belief that says, I can't give up my sweets. There may be a belief that says, I could never eat like that. As you become mindful of your thinking, you may see some repeating thoughts such as, I'm so fat, I hate dieting, I deserve to have that donut. Until the thoughts and beliefs are addressed, you're not likely to have success in whatever you're trying to be successful at, because these thoughts and beliefs will override your willpower. Your will and the destructive thoughts and beliefs would be in constant conflict. In order to be successful, you have to get your thoughts, beliefs, and will in alignment. The other factor to consider is your emotional self. Emotions play a huge role when it comes to behavior modification. The person who wants to lose weight will have feelings about being overweight, about her sense of deservingness, about depriving herself of the things she enjoys, and about her feelings of success or failure. Our emotional selves are like little children. If you tell a 5-year-old child that she can't have a cookie, she'll want that cookie even more. She may even steal a cookie from the cookie jar when you're not looking. Children want what they want, and all your logic and reasoning have no bearing on the desires of a child. Tell a 5-year-old child that cookie isn't good for her, and she'll not understand. She'll be thinking it tastes good, so how could it not be good? The child is in the moment with that cookie, where the parent may be considering the whole big picture, which includes future consequences of eating that cookie today. As we get older, we begin to understand that what you do today will have an effect on you tomorrow. There's this thing called a cumulative effect. When you just eat this one cookie one time, it probably won't have much of an impact. But if you eat 3 cookies after every meal every day for 6 months, you may see the results in the mirror. Although living in the moment is great, and we all may strive to be more present in the now, we also must consider the behavior we have right now and how it will impact our future. What we do today is the building blocks to what we'll outpicture in our lives tomorrow. Part of the problem with making changes in behavior is that we don't see the results right away. There's no immediate reward. The reward can only be on an imaginary level. If you're trying to lose weight, then you must be able to picture what you will look like 6 months from now if you continue eating well today. And this is what we call delayed gratification. If you're seeking instant gratification, which most people with destructive behaviors do, you'll not be able to delay gratification long enough to see positive results in your life, at least not long term. The need and the desire for immediate gratification is too intense. Most people who fail to make positive changes in their lives can't get beyond their need for immediate gratification. I want it now. The desire for immediate fulfillment outweighs the desire to have a different outcome in the future. The future seems so far away. It feels unobtainable. It would require too much sacrifice now in order to have what you want later. Nobody likes to feel that they're sacrificing. Nobody likes to feel they are depriving themselves. We all want to feel good now. If you want to be successful at making a change, you must be willing to look at the stories you tell yourself on a daily basis that gets in the way of your making a change. What do you feel you're depriving yourself of? What are you sacrificing? What do you need that you are telling yourself you cannot have? You actually need to begin changing your mindset and reprogramming your subconscious mind with new beliefs and ideas that support the change you want to make in your life. Instead of seeing your changes as a sacrifice, try looking at it as an investment. With an investment, you pay now and reap the rewards later, often tenfold. Instead of seeing that you are depriving yourself, change your mindset to where you tell yourself, I'm taking good care of myself. I'm investing in myself. Self-love is really at the core of behavioral changes because if you don't care about yourself, if you don't love yourself, you will not care about making positive changes in your life. Often we want to make changes from a place of self-loathing. You may say, I hate myself, and if I make this change in my life, I will like myself better. If you're coming from a place of self-loathing, this is okay, but the focus of your behavior change must be on learning how to love yourself rather than believing that the change will make you love yourself. It's actually quite the opposite. Loving yourself will help you to make the change. You can love yourself and still despise the behavior. Instead of saying, I hate myself because I can't stop eating junk food, say, I love myself but hate that I'm eating all this junk food. Can you see a difference in the energy behind each one of those statements? How you do talk to yourself is really important. Being loving to yourself is very important. You must learn to say, I love myself enough to want to make this change. I work with a lot of people coming out of toxic relationships and have a very difficult time letting go of that toxic partner. Rational thought would tell us, he is toxic, and so it should be easy to let him go. But when we're dealing with destructive behaviors, rational thought has little to do with it. We're driven by emotion, by desire, by addiction. Most people who fall in love with, say, a narcissistic person, for example, will feel a strong addiction to that person. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are a love addict and have had this kind of dynamic in the past, but it is important to acknowledge that you are addicted now. And in order to release this person in your life, you must confront that addiction. It is important, first of all, to determine what exactly you are addicted to. For most people in this kind of situation, the addiction is to an ideal. A narcissistic person will typically love bomb you in a new relationship, and you will be under the impression that the love you are getting in mega doses is authentic. You get hooked into the relationship through this experience of being the center of attention in the person's life. When that attention is abruptly withdrawn, a craving begins. That attention is often equated with how you perceive yourself. When this person is showering you with love and attention, you may get the idea that you are worthy of the attention, that you are lovable, beautiful, smart, sexy, funny, and all those things that you are told during what we call the love bombing stage of the relationship. And if you don't know the term love bombing or haven't heard of the term love bombing, it is when someone comes into your life and just showers you with love and attention in a really big way where it seems like all of their focus in their life is on you, all of their attention is on you, and you can do no wrong. Everything that you do, everything that you are is put on a pedestal in a sense. You're really lifted up and seem to be admired and adored and just showered with positive attention. But when the attention is withdrawn, you begin to ask the question, am I still lovable? Does he still see me as beautiful? Does he still think I'm smart and funny? Your sense of self-worth gets tied up in how this other person perceives you. You may not have had a really strong sense of confidence before you met this person, and he really boosted your confidence, only to rip the rug out from underneath you, which caused you to feel that he didn't really mean all those lovely things he said about you, therefore they must not be true. The real addiction here is when we attempt to get our self-confidence needs met from the outside rather than from within. When we give someone else the power to make us feel good and important, we also give this person the power to make us feel bad and worthless. It is opposite ends of the same coin. So if you're addicted to a person, you may really be addicted to how that person perceives you. You may have fallen from grace, which we all do in narcissistic relationships. And if you addictively attempt to get back into the good graces of this individual who has devalued you or discarded you, being seen as good becomes the strongest desire. We're addicted to one particular person Because all your friends and family may tell you how good, worthy, and beautiful you are, but their words don't mean a thing now. You need to hear it from this one person. So you are addicted to the feedback from one single person. And this is a type of love addiction or approval addiction. When we set out to heal our addictions to a person, we need to understand that the most important person to be validated by is ourselves. We have to learn to see ourselves as good, smart, beautiful, sexy, loving, caring, kind, and worthy. And we have to learn to do this in the face of a situation where someone else has a strong negative judgment on us. You have to remember that people will treat you as they treat themselves, or as they themselves have been treated. Ironically, their treatment of you has nothing to do with you. They love bomb you in the beginning of a relationship because they believe if they give you what you want, they will get what they want, which might be a relationship, love, affection, care, sex, or even financial support. They may genuinely see you as all those beautiful things in the beginning, but their own self-loathing eventually gets projected onto you. Toxic people simply cannot sustain true intimacy. Some people with codependent tendencies may be addicted to the idea of fixing, rescuing, or saving the other person. There are several reasons we do this. One is that rescuing another takes the focus off ourselves and what we need to do to help ourselves. Another reason is we have a belief that if we can fix that person, we will have what we want. That if only I can fix him, I'll finally be loved. I'll finally get what I need. A third reason people rescue is a need to feel needed. If you need me because I put myself in this important position in your life, you will never leave me. Or I feel powerful and omnipotent when I'm needed. If you need to heal your addiction to another person, you must dig deep to understand what is at the core of your addiction. And you may need some professional help to explore this terrain and learn how to change the dynamic. Hypnotherapy can be very helpful in understanding what is at your core. It's actually important to explore what is at the core of all addictions and negative or destructive patterns. Until you can root out the dynamic that is driving you, it will be difficult to really make a change. Willpower alone will do very little. If you truly want to embrace a new life, a new start, then the focus needs to be on embracing what is new. You must be willing to do things differently. It is said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I can't tell you how many clients I've had who go back to toxic relationships expecting the person they're going back to will be different this time, or that the relationship will be different. It's really atypical that someone will have the big aha and suddenly be different. Behavior is formed at the core of our being, and unless we dig deeply into our own core and understand ourselves on a deeper level, we're not going to make permanent changes. Anyone can make temporary changes. Thousands of people will embark on a weight loss plan this January, and only a small percentage of those people will be successful over the long run. Most people have enough willpower to stick to something for a short time, and they're running on sheer will. But if the core behavior is not addressed, those changes will not endure. Someone who has really toxic behavior is not likely to change overnight. There's no aha big enough. You know, an aha can certainly set somebody on a course of change, but that course of change is still going to take some time. If that person is to change, it will be a long journey of healing and growing in awareness. There will be a strong commitment to oneself involved, and often these changes can't be made while in a relationship with someone. This is because when in a dysfunctional relationship, we've already established dysfunctional patterns of behaving and reacting, and so it's more important to stop behaving and reacting that way. You may see temporary changes in someone you're trying to go back to, but those changes are not likely to be sustainable. It's like the drinker who quits drinking for a couple weeks and then falls off the wagon yet again. He doesn't have enough commitment to the self-exploration and healing necessary to keep him from his crutch or from using his crutch to get through the day. Our addictions are never really about the drug or the person or the crutch. Our addictions are about ourselves. They are distractions. They distract us from what we are feeling or from our fears. If you're addicted to another person, what is it you're really feeling that you are trying to escape? Why is it that you really believe you can't live without that person? Why has that person become a habit for you? What needs to happen in order to break that habit? Your commitment to a new beginning is more than just white-knuckling it and forcing yourself to avoid your addiction. It is much more about exploring yourself on deep levels, understanding yourself, and knowing what it is that you really need. It involves extreme self-care and a commitment to self-love. It involves changing your mindset and your core beliefs. Whether you want to lose weight, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop drugging, get into shape, leave a confusing, toxic, or dead-end relationship, leave a toxic or dead-end job, or leave an entire community, it not only takes courage, it takes some deep inner exploration. It is really okay for you to do what is in your own best interest. Many of us fear being narcissistic. We're afraid that if we act in our own best interest instead of the best interest of the other, or what we perceive to be the best interest of the other, that we're being selfish. In fact, this belief is enforced by narcissistic people who will tell you that you're selfish if you voice a need or decide to do something for yourself or take a stand for yourself. You have a right to be mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. This is your birthright. Even if you believe your purpose for being here is to serve others, how can you really be of service to others if you have not properly cared for yourself? How can you serve others when your own life is falling apart? How can you serve others when you are financially depleted and can barely pay your rent or mortgage? How can you serve others when your health is failing? How can you serve others when you are struggling with an addiction? How can you serve others when you are miserable? We serve others from our overflow. We have to fill our own cup first. It is from what spills over from our overflowing cup that we give to others. This belief that we can't have anything for ourselves, lest we be selfish and greedy, is actually a destructive belief. The deeper truth, once you hit adulthood, is if I don't take care of me, who's going to? If I don't love me, who will? Other people may care for you and love you, but if you don't love yourself or care about yourself, you're not really going to let it in. When you care for and love yourself, you bring your energetic vibration up the vibrational ladder, and you attract people into your life who are also vibrating at a higher level. And we're talking about a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of being in the world. These are people who are much more capable of offering you authentic love and connection. Addictions keep us lower on the vibrational scale. Our energy is lower. We attract people into our lives from this lower vibration, and these people act as mirrors to show us how we are truly feeling about ourselves, or mirror to us our own state of consciousness or our own behaviors and addictions. If you embrace the opportunity of that mirror, you will learn how to use that mirror as a barometer for how far you've climbed the vibrational ladder. If you climb too far up the ladder and are vibrating at a higher energetic frequency, that mirror or that person in your life that is acting as a mirror may leave your life. This is something most people coming out of toxic relationships don't realize. If someone leaves you because you are getting healthier, drawing stronger boundaries, and taking better care of yourself, it is because you are healthier that this person leaves. Perhaps he can't manipulate you the same way anymore. Perhaps you are speaking up and he or she's not getting away with the same behavior. Perhaps you've upped the self-care and aren't catering to his or her every need anymore. Narcissistic people only want to be around people who feed the narcissistic ego and cater to the narcissistic needs. If you fail to play your role, you will likely be discarded in favor of someone who is still dysfunctional and blind enough to fall into the conditioned role of serving the narcissist. Be glad that you are getting healthier and moving up the ladder. Be willing to let the former toxic relationships go in favor of greater health and well-being. Be willing to delay gratification in order to have fulfillment in the future. Be willing to suffer some momentary pain and discomfort that comes with breaking through old patterns so that you can live your life from a healthier place in the future. When you're releasing addictions, old ways will fall behind. Friends and partners you danced with who were associated with your addictive behavior may fall away. And I say, let them fall. You must be willing to die to the old in order to be born to the new. You must be willing to confront what is no longer working in order to embrace the behaviors that will take you to a whole different level. Often when embracing change, there's a period of darkness and discomfort you must pass through. The degree and intensity of this darkness and discomfort depends on how big the change you are embracing and what needs to happen in your life in order for this change to take place. Dying to the old is a death. It is a loss of a way of being in the world. You must be willing to see yourself living in a new way without the old behaviors or addictions. The alcoholic must be willing to embrace a new lifestyle without alcohol and must be able to see himself or herself doing so. The food addict must be willing to see themselves living without the former comfort foods that are creating dis-ease in the body. The codependent must be willing to embrace a life that considers her own needs, wants, desires, and toxic patterns rather than focusing on the other. The love addict must be willing to see a life without the object of her affection. The dark period in your life may be a time of deep soul searching, the time where you confront things in your own psyche that are difficult to confront. The commitment needs to be greater than losing weight, getting in shape, stop drinking, smoking, or overeating, or stop focusing on the object of one's addiction. The commitment needs to be to confront anything that stands in your way of living the life you truly want to live. So what is standing in the way of having the life you truly want? Is it really just your addiction? Or is it more the answer to the question, what is my addiction distracting me from? Ask yourself that question. What is my addiction distracting me from? And be willing to explore the answer and find healthy ways to get your needs met so that you no longer need those distractions. When you can live in the moment, embracing exactly where you are right now, and be willing to make choices that move you towards your vision of being healthy, happy, and empowered in your life, instead of taking you down the vibrational ladder that you know you are walking, as the natives would say, the good red road. Your vision for the future sets the course for your destination. However, living fully in the now and embracing the positive behaviors that will lead you towards your vision allows you to live in the now, fully alive and empowered with the choices you're making today. And so your life becomes about making empowered choices. Never postpone until tomorrow what you can do today. because tomorrow never comes. And it is never easier to do it tomorrow. Now is all you have, so take action right now, in the moment, and you will see a very different future unfolding. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.